Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Jeff Call. It was presented at a chapel service in January of 2006. The title of the message, How to Reach Your Potential.
I remember when I was about 15 years old, I used to run around in a gang of young people. And there was about 50 of us, all guys, and we had long hair. We didn't carry weapons. We were a nice gang. And we broke into some buildings on Saturdays. The factories near our neighborhood were plentiful, and so we wanted to know what they made. So we broke into this one building, and they made the Nerf ball. You ever hear of a Nerf foam ball? And we didn't know that they made it there. Boy, I tell you, that was cool. They have these big old foam machines, and a lot of times the foam doesn't turn out right, so they throw these balls into this defective ball pit. And the defective ball pit was about as big as your auditorium, and we would have dodgeball fights. We would just have all kinds of the 696, which is the major highway running through a suburb of Detroit. I remember we all took these foam balls and we threw them over the side and we stopped traffic on the highway. And that's where I learned how to drive a forklift. And we would stack up these big old refrigerator boxes way up, and we would run into the boxes with the forklift. We'd go bowling with a forklift. And, it was kind of neat, and they'd try to chase us away. They put Doberman pinchers, when they left work, they put Doberman pinchers, and they thought that'd keep us out. But this is how you take care of Doberman pinchers. You just open the gate. It was really simple. In fact, this morning I went and took a walk. I ran into some dogs. Some wild dogs, and one of the neighbors gave me a stick. They said, "Are you new?" I said, "I was just going to go pet them." we always went, and they always chased us away. We had a great time there for the short time that we went. They came up with some other new elaborate schemes, so we couldn't get in. A few years later, I was in ministry, and I wrote the Nerf Factory. I told them I was part of a gang. We used to go in and terrorize your building and take all your foam balls. And I wanted to, apologize for that. But I wanted to see if you'd give us some of those defective balls that you had, because I know you have them. You can't tell me you don't have them. I know you have those. And so I came one day to work, and the mail folks, they came up and said, "Hey, Brother Call, you might want to come over to the mail room. There's something here for you. A semi just pulled up. Nerf just sent us all kinds of balls, all that we needed." I've gotten several from them. In fact, they just sent me another semi-load over at the camp I'm working at in Michigan. They always write me back, "We really appreciate your story. That's funny. You can have as many as you want." And so they always send me Nerf balls. I tell kids all over the country, crime does pay. I'm just teasing, of course. I'm just teasing. Don't go home and tell your parents I said that. Crime pays. We need a life of crime. So when we get in the ministry, we can get stuff. That's not what I meant to say. But nonetheless, I just wanted to share a humorous story with you. I before I came, I got something off. Someone gave this to me. These were kids' books that didn't make it. These are titles that didn't make it in 2005. I think you'll enjoy these. These are just titles. All of you have to do reading assignments, no doubt. Here's one title that didn't make it. You're Different, and That's Bad. The Boy Who Died from Eating All of His Vegetables. The Kid's Guide to Hitchhiking. Kathy Was So Bad That Her Mom Stopped Loving Her. That's a bad book, isn't it? I could see why that book wasn't good to have. Curious George and the High Voltage Fence. The Little Sissy That Snitched. I'd like to see that book. Here's a book here. Why Can't Mr. Fork and Mr. Electrical Outlet Be Friends? That's It, I'm Putting You Up for Adoption. This is good. Controlling the Playground, Respect Through Fear. You got some bullies here in the audience? We got some bullies here. Point to a bully. Okay, there's some bullies here. We got that. They read that book. They must have read that book. And then my favorite, strangers have the best candy. I remember when Isaac was very young, we would go into a restaurant. Where's Isaac? He's out. He's already sitting at someone's table talking to him. He's already at their table eating their food. He's like two. I said, Isaac, you can't do that. You know, Isaac, you know, the world is full of bad people. You know, everyone's a bad person when you have a young child. You know, and I said, Isaac, can't. And he's always running off. We didn't know where he was. One day I came home from work and Carol couldn't find Isaac. And so I went looking for him. And he and one of the neighbor kids are out in a rowboat at 4 years old in the middle of the lake. You know, because they could. You know, why? Because they could. That's why they did it. And so I bring them back in. We're talking through this. And all right, I need to have some classes. I need to have some workshops for my kids. And so I develop a little workshop. You know, here's Isaac. He's 4 years old. All right, I'm gonna drive by. I'm gonna dress up like a stranger. I'm gonna have some candy in a bag, and I'm gonna pull up. All right, Isaac, just stand by the side of the road. I'm gonna pretend I'm a stranger. And then I want you to respond because I want to teach you. You can't do this. And so I pull up. Hey, little kid. You know, I'm all dressed up in my giddy up. Hey, little kid, why don't you come in the car? I got some candy. And Isaac comes up. What kind you have? You know, so that workshop didn't go very well. So fortunately, no one took them. And so that was good. But I just want to talk to you the few moments that we have, just kind of get to know you a little bit. This morning, let you get to know me a little bit. I want to talk to you this morning about potential. All of you can be used of God. All of you can do something for God. All of you, if you put your mind to it, can accomplish what God's will is for your life. I hope that each one of you will be committed to that end. A number of years ago, I was watching a television show, and They were doing an interview on a girl named Sarah. Sarah Sanchez was her name. She's 12 years old. She lived in Los Angeles. In her neighborhood, there were a lot of gangs. There was a lot of violence. There was a lot of death. Kids her age were already dropping out of school. They were already involved with drugs. They were already involved with drinking. Many of them were on the streets, and many of those kids, even if they were good kids, didn't have a mom and dad at home. And so this reporter sought out to find, you know, a kid, a young person trying to do right in a neighborhood like this. They wanted to find out what would make them succeed. And so they found this girl, Sarah Sanchez, 12 years old, a good kid. She seemed to have a nice personality when they were interviewing her. Her mom had her when she was 17. She was a single parent. That's not that uncommon. We see that all the time. I have young people that come to camp, and we hear some of the most heart-wrenching stories you could ever imagine. Young people who live in homes where mom and dad cannot get along. I had a mom and dad in my office just the other day counseling them. They hate each other. They yell at each other. If I didn't stop them on occasion, they would beat each other up in the office. There are parents like that all over. And there's young people who live in homes just like that. I lived in a home just like that. I lived in a home exactly like that kind of those folks that we were counseling a few days ago. But Sarah, they were interviewing her, and they said, Sarah, what advice could you give to other kids that are 12 years old? If you're going to reach your potential, what's the advice that you would give to others? She wanted to be a doctor. And by all accounts, she had a great personality. It looked like she had good character. She was hanging out with good people. She gave three pieces of advice, and I wanted to give that to you. Because what she gave was biblically based. What she said is exactly true. The only way that she's going to reach her potential is if she follows her own advice. Because you can find that advice in the Scripture. You can find that counsel and that instruction in Scripture. What did she say? Sarah said that she was not going to reach her potential if she didn't listen to her mom. Now, she was in a home where there was just a single mom. There was just a single parent. I think what she could have said, if you're not listening to your parents, you're not going to reach your potential. I meet a lot of young people who rebel about this age. They start questioning everything their parents do and who they are. They see the restrictions or the standards that are placed before them, and they think their mom and dad don't understand and don't care. Now, there are some moms and dads just aren't around. I know a lot of young people, they come to camp, and their moms and dads are never around. In fact, they go to work around 7, and they're not home until 7 or 8 o'clock at night. They spend very little time with their parents. You know, I think one of the most valuable lessons that Sarah probably said out of the 3 that she gave is this one right here. You got to listen to your parents. Can you not find that in Scripture? Do you not see that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2? Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Period. That's what the Bible says. I grew up in a home where we had 15 men living in our home from the time I was a small child to the time I was a college student. My mom divorced my father when we were 6 months old. And then she had a series of men that just lived in our home. There was always a different man living in our home. Can you imagine living in that kind of situation? My brother and sister, in particularly my brother and sister, we were padlocked in our room. Close the door, a padlock put on the door. Our windows were nailed shut so we couldn't get fresh air. Many times we would just throw up in the room because we were so hot. We'd go days without any food. That's how we grew up. That's our home. I never remember getting up before noon. Now, some of you would say, oh, man, I would love that. You know, she would go to bed around 4, my mother. She would go to bed around 4. She was involved with all kinds of worldly things, and so she'd go to bed at 4. She wanted her 8 hours of sleep, and she would make us go to bed at 10 at night. We'd have to stay in bed from 10 at night till noon the next day. And if we made any noise, we were grounded for the rest of the day. We'd have to stay in bed. During that period of time, I memorized the entire book of Proverbs. Not for points, not for a Sunday school class. Someone just said, well, why don't you make good use of your time and memorize God's Word? And I saw in Proverbs a constant reminder to obey those people in authority, even when your authority didn't make sense. Even when your authority didn't mean well for you, you should obey and honor your authority. And so what I learned at a very early age, honor my mother. Just honor. And so I tried to. I did my very best. And I think Sarah was doing her very best. And if Sarah did, I believe God will honor her. I remember one time my mom wanted me to fix something. You know, there was a table leg. We didn't have any tools. I tried to fix it with a butter knife. I was 17. And I fixed it. It took me 2 hours to screw this little screw in. And she came over and broke it. She said, fix it again. I took 2 more hours and did it again. My hand had some blisters on it. I was getting a little irritated that she broke it the first time. She wasn't careful. And she broke it again on purpose. She said, fix it again. And I got so upset, I took the table and I whipped it across the room and hit the picture on the wall in the living room. I said, fix it yourself. That was my first time I ever yelled at my mother at 17 years old. I was a Christian at that point, just a few months. And she came up and she went to hit me. And I think I could have taken her. You know, she's only about this tall. And I've always been this height, I think. I wasn't always this wide, but I was always this tall. And when I went to Bible college, I was this tall and I weighed 141 pounds. But I still think I could have taken her. I could have put her in the scissors. You know, I could have made her say uncle. I could have done something. But I just kind of put my fist up like I was going to hit her because I was so mad. And I remember as if God himself was there, I felt, don't you dare touch your mother. And I didn't. I put my fist down, kind of in shame that I would even consider it. And I said, that's it, I'm leaving. And so I walked out the door, put the door open, and I put my foot outside the threshold of the door. It didn't touch the porch yet, and my mom said, if you leave, you'll never be invited back again to this house. Now, I know that she was telling the truth because I had 3 other brothers and sisters that were already kicked out of the house. I had to pack their bags. When they disobeyed to a certain point, she said, Jeff, I need you to go get a garbage bag. and get as many as we need, and we're going to clear out their room, and we're going to put all their stuff in garbage bags, and we're going to tie it up. We put it outside the door. She'd close the door, and she'd lock it, and they were never invited back. I had one sister at that point. I haven't seen her for 8 years. She left. She cried as she walked out, walked down the street with some of her belongings. My other brother, I did see him after he was kicked out, but I remember he got kicked out on a winter day. Right now, it's about 15 degrees where I'm from, and it was a winter day. There was snow on the ground, and Rick lived underneath the house. You know, he had some blankets. He was shivering. He didn't have anything to eat, and I went and snuck him food. I knew my mom was serious. She would kick us out. She would never invite us back again, and I was sitting there making a decision. Okay, what should I do? I pulled my foot in, I closed the door, and I walked to my room. I got grounded for a week, but I honored my mother. It wasn't easy. It's not always easy. If you're going to reach your potential, it's not always easy. Life's not a life of ease. It's not a life of comfort. You have to make decisions of obedience, and sometimes that's difficult. Some of you come from homes that you know what I'm talking about. It's difficult to honor. It's difficult to obey, but God will bless you for doing it. I believe God blessed me for doing it. A number of years ago, I wanted to have a family reunion, and I invited my mom. Obviously, she should be there. It's a family reunion. I asked my brothers and sisters if they would like to say something at the reunion. None of them wanted to say anything because they were still very bitter at her. My older brother, Rick, who works for the FBI today, to this day, he has a hard time forgiving her for things. And he's 45 years old. I said, well, I'll say something. Every Mother's Day since I've left for Bible college, every Mother's Day I write a full page to my mother appreciating all the good things. You say, well, your mother didn't have a lot of good things. Well, I see them because I chose to see them. She was a hard worker. She tried her best. She was dealt some bad situations early on in her life. And so I just try to let her know there is someone that loves her. The last time I was here, my mother was 66 years old. My mom just turned 70. She just got saved. I believe she got saved because someone's been praying for her. Someone still loved her. In spite of all the things she went through and all the pain that she caused others, someone still loved her and chose to honor her. And I believe that today I'm in ministry and I get the joy of coming to places like this because I chose to honor instead of getting bitter. And a lot of folks don't listen to their parents. Some of you may be in that situation. You've chosen not to listen to your mom and dad. And your mom and dad aren't perfect, but they're your mom and dad. And God gives a clear command. You honor them. End of story. Even if it's hard. That's the first piece of advice that she gave. If you're going to reach your potential, you need to listen to your mom and dad. Then she said that she wasn't going to reach her potential if she had bad friends. Boy, this is just common sense, everyday stuff. Sarah's right on. She probably heard that from her mom. Her mom had a difficult life already. Don't hang around bad friends. You're going to make bad decisions. The best decision I ever made was when I was 16 years old. Paul McLean and Joe Bolin were a few of my friends, casual friends at best. But they were people in the neighborhood that I started hanging out with. They were bad news. Paul had me over one day. His dad went to work. And so Paul said, hey, listen, my dad keeps all these antique model trucks up in the attic. I'm going to take some of those and sell them at a flea market, and I want you to take them with me. I said, man, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, but he doesn't even know. He hasn't been up there in years, and I need the money for stuff. All right. So we started doing that. Then I remember him saying, hey, Jeff, why don't we go steal a car? So it was just little at first. Now we're starting to get big stuff. And we stole a car. I remember we were on a moped. We stole someone's moped. And I didn't know how to drive a moped, but he was driving. I was sitting behind him. And finally, he said, would you like to drive? I said, yeah, that sounds cool. I'll drive. So we're driving. I'm driving. Well, I'm very ticklish. I don't want to tell you that because, you know, I'm a grown man now. But and so he, you know, we're 16 years old. He's holding on like this, and he starts tickling me while I'm driving. I'm like, ah, stop, stop. You know, stop tickling me. And that whole word, the word tickle, just is funny. The whole when you say tickle, it makes me laugh. But, you know, so he starts tickling me, and I lose control, and I run into a pole. You know, and so, and we crash, and the pedal goes right into my ankle and nearly breaks it, and it turns all purple the next day, but I can't walk. Well, he runs, you know, it's, man, I'm out of here. He runs, and he sees the people that we stole the moped from, and he says, hey, Jeff stole that. You know, I can't get away. So the police are called. You know, I was part of it. I was part of it, but you make up a story, and I thought, that dirty rascal, he turned on me. You know, a bad friend is the worst investment you'll ever have in life. If you have a bad friend, you know what that friend's going to do eventually? He's going to turn on you, or she's going to turn on you. That's not what a friend's about. And they started doing more things later on. They started doing drugs. I said, I can't do this. I'm going to church. I can't do this. So I brought Joe Boland and Paul McLean over to my house. I called them. I said, hey, listen, I got to tell you something. I said, I talked to my youth pastor, and my youth pastor really encouraged me to get better friends. And I haven't been a good friend to you because I've been doing what you're doing. And unless you guys turn or change, I can't hang out with you anymore. They started swearing at me. I went to a public school. I had 1,500 kids from 10th to 12th grade in our public school. In fact, I was voted the shyest person in school. I had 1,100 votes on my senior year. I didn't know I was so popular. And maybe I'll tell you someday why I became so popular. But it's kind of a funny story. But they came to school and they started beating me up, pushing me in the lockers, taking me into the bathroom, you know, punching me. And I thought, this is terrible. I told them what I wanted to do. I wanted to get better friends. I can't hang out with them. And what do your friends do? Your bad friends will turn on you. That's what they did. I'm glad I got rid of them. Today, I get to preach to you. Do you know where Paul McLean is and Joel Boland is today? They're in prison for armed robbery. I'm so thankful I made a decision at 16 years old. My potential could have never been reached if I kept those friends. My potential would have never been realized if I chose those as my friends. Some of you might not hang around bad people, but maybe you're a bad person. You need to be a better friend for the people around you. They're counting on you. If you're going to reach your potential, you need to have good friends. And lastly, Sarah said this. She said, if you're going to reach your potential, you're going to need to try a little harder. You know, just try a little harder. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengthens me. Christ is the reason we can reach our potential. But we have to pursue it. We have to do something with our lives. It takes energy. It takes effort. It takes hard work. It takes perspiration. And there's a lot of people not willing to do that. There's a lot of people who just want to coast through life. But life is hard sometimes. And you can only reach your potential if you're willing to work for it. My freshman year in college, my first semester, I had a 1.97 grade point average. That wasn't good, by the way. You probably know that. I had some bad grades, but I was working 65 hours a week. Now, on the other side, I was working hard, but I wasn't getting good grades because I didn't have time. When I left my home at 18 years old, when I left, my mom said, hey, we're renting your room out. As soon as you leave, you'll never be invited back to stay. There were no phone calls. For 2.5 years, there were no phone calls. There were no cards. There were no Christmases. There was nothing. Not for me. That's not everyone's life, but that was for me. That's how my life kind of unraveled. And I went to school. When I left for Bible College, my freshman year, I stood in front of that registration line and I said, hey, how much money do you need? Do you need money for college? And the kids in front of me, they weren't taking all this money out. Man, I should take that from them. You know, I'm from Detroit. I could take it. No, I better not do that. That doesn't seem right. I was the last person to register at Northland in 1984. And I came to the table. They said, "You must be Jeff Call." Yes, how'd you know? You're the last person to register. That's how I knew I was the last person. And they said, "You know, are you all ready? Are you prepared?" And I said, "You know, I got to be upfront with you. I don't have any money. I didn't know you need money for college. My youth pastor told me I needed to go to college, and I guess that's all I knew. And so I hitchhiked here to college. I just hitchhiked with a little suitcase about 600 miles, and I came up to the college, and I said, I don't have any money. I didn't know I needed any." They said, "Well, you need to go back and pray about this. You know, God, we need money." I said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe you ought to pray about getting the money." I said, "You know, I did all the work. I hitchhiked up here, you know." And so I went to the room, and I wasn't necessarily a big prayer warrior. I said, "Lord, you know I need money. I didn't know that, so I guess I'm just asking for some money." And so I went and played, you know, and did some things for a couple days, and $600 came in. That was my down payment. So I said, "Well, I better work. I better get working, and so I don't have this problem again." So I just started working endless amount of hours just so I could stay in college for Bible college. But then I wasn't getting good grades, and so I just had to figure this thing out. I'm happy to say the next 9 semesters, I got a 4.0, and I graduated with honors. That was hard work, but I did it. I figured it out. You know, nothing comes easy. You got to work at it. If you're going to reach your potential for Christ, you got to work at it. And some of you aren't putting your full effort into it. Some of you are just gliding through life. Can be demonstrated through your classwork. It can be demonstrated in all of your other assignments of life and your work around the house. If you're going to reach your potential, you got to be a hard worker. "I can do all things through Christ. I can do everything through Christ. He strengthens me." Young people, I just want to see you reach your potential.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled "How to Reach Your Potential" by Jeff Call. It was originally presented in January of 2006 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.